Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Welcome to Students Incorporated. I'm your host, Mr. Jason. Join me weekly as my students and I bring you content that's informative, positive, fun, and uplifting. This podcast is created and produced with the help of students from the International Community School of Bangkok. Hello and welcome back to the podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Jason. And joining me today are co-hosts James and Dorcas, aka Midnight. And we have two student guests joining us today as well, so welcome to everyone. So let's get real for a second. Have you ever picked up your phone to check one notification, only to find that an hour later you've watched 100 short videos and can't even remember what you were looking for in the first place? If you've felt that mental fog, that feeling of being chronically online, then you're no stranger to the popular and growing term that's online. That term is brain rot. In this episode, we're looking into the world of brain rot, the viral term used to describe endless scrolling, weird humor, and the meme culture shaping how much of the online generation thinks and talks today. From TikTok trends to internet slang, we'll break down how memes and media fuel this craze, why it resonates so strongly with us, and what it all says about our digital age. So get ready for a mix of cultural analysis, relatable examples, and student perspectives on the media that defines their generation. This is going to be a fun and fascinating conversation. But first, let's hear our quote of the day and get some headline news.
Our quote of the day comes from Dr. John Mayer, a respected psychologist. He said, "When we experience intense focus or fascination, our brains release dopamine, creating a cycle of reward that keeps us engaged." This quote was chosen because it works on two levels for our topic today. On the surface, the word focus describes what brain rot feels like, the way we can't stop thinking about a favorite character or story. But on a deeper level, Dr. Mayer explains how this intense interest actually affects our brain chemistry, making us want to keep coming back for more. Brain rot isn't just a fun obsession. It's a real psychological process that drives creativity, connection, and joy. It reminds us that being passionate about something, even a fictional world, is a natural part of how our minds find pleasure and meaning. And that's our quote of the day. Now on to some headline news.
Thank you for our quote of the day. Now let's dive into some headline news from around the world. Our first story comes from Psychology Today, which weighs in on the impact of TikTok trends on young people. They write, "While brain rot isn't a clinical diagnosis, we can't ignore the profound effect that rapid algorithm-driven content has on the developing brain's capacity for deep focus." This article gathers opinions from child psychologists who are debating whether it is a real neurological concern or just the latest moral panic about new media. Next up, an article from Forbes looks at how this is affecting the workplace. It notes, "We're seeing a fundamental shift. The challenge for leaders is no longer just managing time, but managing attention itself in an economy of distraction." The piece argues that companies are now having to rethink productivity for a workforce that has been trained for 15-second content cycles. And finally, a report from Edutopia highlights how schools are trying to tackle the problem head-on. An educator in the report states, "We realize we can't just ban the technology. We have to give students the mental tools to navigate it. We're essentially teaching them to be mindful consumers of information, not just passive scrollers. This story covers new digital literacy and mindfulness programs being rolled out in schools to help students practice sustained focus. And that's our headline news from around the world.
And we are back. I'm here with James, Midnight, and our student guest, Pun and Proud, to break down the phenomenon of brain rot. In my introduction, I offered a general definition of brain rot, this idea of endless scrolling and internet-heavy humor. But I'd love to hear from you guys directly. Pun, when you hear the term brain rot, does that definition resonate with you? What does it mean in your daily life?
Yeah, definitely. For me, it's not just the scrolling, it's the language. It's when you've spent so much time online that the inside jokes from TikTok or memes start showing up in how you talk. It's using terms like skibbity or riz and having them make perfect sense to your friends, but completely nonsensical to anyone else. It's like your brain is just full of references to things that only exist online.
That's a great point. The language aspect is huge. How about you, Proud? What comes to your mind?
I agree with Pun on the language, but for me, it's also the feeling of it. It's that mental fog you mentioned. It's when I realize I've been watching YouTube shorts for 45 minutes and my brain feels slow. It needs a moment to reboot. The videos are so fast and random that my thoughts feel scattered afterwards. And it's hard to focus on something complex, like starting my homework.
So it's both an external culture and an internal feeling. Let's look into the content itself. Is all brain rot the same? For example, is there a difference between a simple, absurd, mean trend versus the really deep, complex lore you might find in a fandom or a video game community? Pun, what do you think?
Oh, there's a huge difference. There are levels to it. Like, level one is the surface level stuff, the random, soundbite-driven memes that are funny for a week and then disappear. It's low-effort, high-reward humor. But then you have the deeper stuff, the lore. It could be about a niche web series, a video game, or even a creator's running gags. Understanding that requires history. You have to have been there to get the joke. That kind of content feels less like rot, but and more like being part of a subculture. It's rewarding in a different way.
Hello, my friends. Minna here. Yeah, the idea of subculture is really interesting. You mentioned it's kind of like an inside joke. Does that shared language and understanding create a strong sense of community, or can it be isolating? Do you ever feel like you're in a bubble and it's like hard to connect with people or even like older family members who aren't in on that joke?
It's definitely both. The community is real. Finding people who understand a super niche reference is an amazing feeling. It's how a lot of online friendship starts. But it can be isolating in the real world. I definitely made a reference to a meme in a conversation with my parents and just gotten a completely blank stare. It's not that I can't talk to them, but it's highlighting a big part of my cultural world is totally invisible to them. It can feel like you're speaking to a different language.
For sure. That experience you're both describing ties back to the psychology of it all. Proud, you mentioned the mental fog, and Fun, you talked about the low-effort, high-reward humor. It makes me think about the quote I shared from Dr. Mayer about the brain's dopamine cycle. Does consuming this type of media feel like you're actively seeking the reward that he mentioned? Like you're hunting for that funny video? Or is it more of a passive, almost mindless habit that you just fall into?
I think it starts as a hunt. You're looking for something entertaining, but after a while, the algorithm is so good that you don't even have to hunt anymore. You can just swipe and the next thing is already there. It becomes passive very quickly, and that's when you lose track of time.
That leads to an interesting thought I have. If you're constantly being fed this content, do you find that your brain adapts to it? Does the content have to become weirder, faster, or more shocking to get that same level of laugh or hold your attention? Is there a kind of desensitization effect?
I think so. A meme that was hilarious 6 months ago can be seen boring now. The pace of trends is incredibly fast. Something is popular for a week, and then everyone moves on. And to stand out, new content often has to be more absurd or chaotic. It's like a constant escalation of weirdness, and you get used to that level of stimulation. A slow, quiet video can feel jarring after that.
That escalation is exactly what the Psychology Today article I found was concerned about. The impact on the developing brain. It questions whether brain rot is a genuine neurological concern, or is it just the latest moral panic? From your guys' point of view, do you think the concern for psychologists and parents is justified? Or do you think it's just like an overreaction to your generation's culture?
I think it's a little of both. The concern of how attention spans is real. I see it in myself and my friends when we have to read a book for class. It feels harder to stay focused for long periods. But at the same time, I think adults sometimes miss the good parts. The memes and trends are a huge source of creativity and connection for us. It's how we build community. So calling it rot feels a bit harsh, like they're dismissing the entire culture behind it.
I think that's a crucial point. Historically, older generations have always been worried about new media. They said it about rock and roll, video games, and even the novel. Do you see this as just a 21st century version of that same panic, or does something about the algorithm, the speed, and the personalization of it feel fundamentally different this time?
Yeah, it feels different. With old media like TV, everyone was mostly watching the same few things. But with algorithms, everyone's experience is unique. My For You page is completely different from Proud. The personalization makes it way more powerful and maybe a little more dangerous. The app knows exactly what will keep you watching. This is a level of influence that older media never had. It's not just a broadcast, it's a conversation between you and a machine designed to hold your attention.
That's a powerful way to put it. It reminds me of the Forbes article about the attention economy. It basically argues that in the modern world, the most valuable resource is human attention. Does it ever feel like you're in a battle for your own focus and that these apps are designed to win that battle?
All the time. I actively have to put my phone in another room to get work done. I use app timers. It's a conscious effort to reclaim my own focus. So yes, it absolutely feels like a battle sometimes, and you don't always have to win.
Ah, that's a great place to pause. We've gone from defining brain rot to unpacking its social dynamics, its psychological hooks, and the powerful role of the algorithm. It's clear this is a complex issue with no easy answers. When we come back from the break, I want to dive deeper into the real-world consequences you've both touched on, the good and the bad, that we're seeing in schools, our relationships, and even the workplace. All right, we'll be right back after this short PSA announcement.
Hello, my friends. We're taking a quick pause from our conversation for a public service announcement about the very topic we're discussing today. Every year, the Oxford University Press chooses a single word of the year. It is a word or expression that is judged to reflect the vibe of the past 12 months. In 2022, it was Goblin Mode. In 2023, it was Riz. And in 2024, Oxford's word of the year was Brain Rot. This term describes a perceived decline in mental and intellectual ability due to the excessive consumption of low-quality online content, especially from social media platforms like TikTok, and can also refer to slang words and memes that emerge from this online culture. Let that sink in. Of all the words that define our global conversation, in politics, technology, and culture, the one that rose to the top was a slang term for feeling being overstimulated and chronically online. This tells us that this isn't just a niche internet joke. It is a widespread cultural experience. The feeling of a scattered attention span, the endless scroll, and a mind filled with memes became so universal that it was chosen to represent the entire year. This isn't a judgment. It's a diagnosis. It's a mirror showing us our collective state of mind. So the next time you pick up your phone, just take a moment to be mindful. Think about your digital diet. What are you feeding your brain? This has been a public service announcement and hopefully a warning to all of us. Now back to our discussion.
All right, welcome back. We just heard that brain rot was named Oxford's Word of the Year for 2024, which cements how significant this phenomena is. Before we dive into some specific examples of the language, I want to explore the bigger picture. Why does it feel like online language is evolving faster right now than at any other point in history? It seems like we've moved from a known quantity with Gen Z slang into a whole new territory.
Well, I think a huge part of it is the generational handoff. Gen Z grew up on social media, but Gen Alpha was born into an ecosystem dominated by TikTok. For Gen Z, platforms like Instagram and YouTube were the training ground. For Gen Alpha, the default is the algorithm, a constant stream of hyper-fast, audio-driven, and context-collapsing content. Their brains are being wired from a much younger age to communicate in this mode, so their language has to be even more efficient and attention-grabbing.
Exactly, and it changes the entire purpose of the slang. I was looking through the resources Mr. Jason sent, and one of them is Brain Rot Slang 2025, and it makes a key point. It says popular Gen Z words serve as cultural markers for digital communities. Words like slay or spilling the tea helped build a shared identity for Gen Z. Now, Gen Alpha is taking that foundation and remixing it into something else. They aren't just creating cultural markers, they're creating entire microcultures that might only live for a week. The pace itself has become the culture.
Yeah, that's a fascinating distinction. Pun and proud, you're in the front lines of this. Does it feel like there's a real difference between the slang Gen Z established and what you're seeing emerge now with Gen Alpha?
Oh, absolutely. The slang I hear like no cap feels normal and has clear rules. We use it to describe things, but the new wave of slang feels much more random and chaotic. It's less about describing a feeling and more about creating a bizarre moment. You can see the shift happening in real time. My younger brother used words that I don't even understand sometimes, and they've only been online for a few years.
Yeah, I think the key difference is absurdity. One of the article mentions that the new slang has a playful, sometimes absurd quality, and that's the perfect description. Yeah, Gen Z slang was often clever or empowering, but Gen Alpha slang leans more into being nonsensical on purpose. The goal isn't just to be an inside joke, but to be a joke so inside that it barely has an origin point. It's about proving you were there for the split second that it mattered. It's the next level of being chronically online.
So it's a progression. Gen Z built the house with a shared set of slang, and now Gen Alpha is consistently redecorating the rooms in the house with absurd, fast-moving slang or memes. This is the perfect foundation for what we're doing next. To make this real for our listeners, we've compiled a top 10 list of the essential brain rot words, a mix of Gen Z classics and Gen Alpha absurdities. Let's start the countdown. Proud, what's at number 10?
At number 10, we have a Gen Z classic that set the stage, spilling the tea. This means sharing gossip or revealing interest information.
A perfect starting point. It's foundational and it shows how online conversations about drama became normalized.
All right, Pun, what's next at number 9?
All right, at number 9 is another Gen Z pillar. Slay. It's a term of empowerment used when someone does something exceptionally well.
Okay, for number 8, we have cringe. This describes something so awkwardly embarrassing that you feel it for the other person.
All right, the ultimate Gen Z slang guide article listed cringe as a core term. It's the word we use to police the boundaries of what's socially acceptable online. Pun, what's number 7?
Coming up in at number 7 is no cap. Simple, it means no lie or for real. It's a stamp of authenticity.
For number 6, we've got bussin, which is almost exclusively for describing delicious food.
For real though, have you heard anybody actually say this word while eating?
Okay, so there's a song from Stray Kids, and it's called Super Bowl, and it's from the album 5 Star, and that word has appeared more than once. For example, one of them is, the lyrics is, our dish here so bussin. So yeah.
Okay, there's bussin for you. All right, halfway done here. What's number 5 on our top 10 slang words? Pun, this one is probably my favorite.
Okay, at number 5 is goblin mode. Oxford's 2022 word of the year. It's the rejection of social pressure, embracing a lazy, self-indulgent state.
Wow. Well, this slang word is a direct reaction to the highly curated, perfect aesthetic of early Instagram. A very Gen Z move.
According to our research, goblin mode is a way that means to reject social norms and disregard expectations for neatness and productivity. This is often promoted online and can be represented by staying in your pajamas, eating unhealthy snacks, and letting certain physical standards slip. Some suggest it was a reaction to the pandemic. Others suggest that is a counterpoint to the highly curated and perfect aesthetic standards often found online by influencers.
So, word of advice, don't go into goblin mode at school. Okay, what's next?
Number 4 is Oxford's 2023 word of the year, Riz. It's short for charisma and describing the idea of having natural charm without having to try. Now, moving on to number three.
Yes, number three. This is where things start getting weirder. Number three is delusional. This is a short for delusional. It's about embracing unrealistic fantasies as a coping mechanism. I love this. The phrase is delulu is the solulu, the solution. Or delusional is the solution.
This is the bridge to Gen Alpha's mindset. It's self-aware detachment from reality. Proud, what's the next one?
At number two, we have cooked, or, you know, cooking, a word with opposite meanings. If you're cooked, you're done for or finished. It's a negative thing. If you're cooking, you're in the zone or you're doing great things. It's a positive thing. Context is everything with cooked and cooking.
The ultimate linguistic efficiency. And finally, the number one brain rot term on our list. Pun, what is it?
Our number one is the number 6-7. This is pure Gen Alpha level brain rot. It has no meaning. It's an inside joke from a game that became a nonsensical punchline. The joke is that it's meaningless. 1 month ago, this term flooded TikTok, and at that time showed over 1.1 million related videos. I'm sure that the number is much bigger, much higher now. Here's an explanation. If you still don't get it, the slang 6-7 can be used to express just about anything from a simple yes, okay, or no problem. A statement of uncertainty, excitement, or humor as well. The meaning is highly contextual and depends on the speaker's intent and the community using the term. It can sometimes be a funny placeholder with no specific meaning at all.
Wow, that is a very long explanation to give about a slang word that does not have a real definitive meaning. But thank you, Pun, for doing that. So this particular word, it's actually two words, 6 and 7. This slang term's meaning changes depending on the intended situation and the person using it.
And that's the final evolution. Language that has become so detached from meaning that its only purpose is to signal that you are part of the absolute most current in-group is perfect and slightly mind-numbing, symbol for a culture where knowing the joke is more important than the joke itself.
And that's the core of it, isn't it? This isn't about fun words. It's about social gatekeeping, in a way. The speed and the absurdity creates a clear dividing line. Those who know, and those who don't are made to feel like outsiders. It's like an invisible wall. And if you have to ask what 6-7 means, you've just proven you're on the other side of it.
I see that, but I don't think it's intentionally malicious. It's less about actively excluding people and more about quickly finding your own community. The internet is huge and anonymous. Using the slang is like sending up a flare. The people who get it are the people who will get you. It's a filter to finding your own people in group.
Oh yeah, that's so real. It's like a digital secret handshake. In a world where everyone can see everything, having a language that only a specific niche group understands creates a private space. The exclusion isn't the goal, but it's a necessary byproduct of creating a sense of belonging and identity in a very loud public world.
Yeah, and I think that perfectly captures the complexity of this topic. It's a cultural marker, but it's also a communication barrier. It's a creative outlet that also functions as a social filter, creating these distinct in-groups and out-groups. We've journeyed from the psychological drivers of this rapid linguistic evolution to a very real generational shift. And this list has shown us how it all works in practice. What might seem like nonsensical brain rot on the surface is actually a deeply human response to our hyper-digital world, a reflection of how we build identity, find belonging, and decide who gets to be on the inside, whether it's intentional or not. Our top 10 list took us from mainstream terms like slay all the way to the pure mind-numbing absurdity of 6-7. It really proves that what might seem like nonsensical brain rot on the surface is actually a deeply human response to our hyper-digital world, a reflection of how we build identity, find belonging, and play with the very fabric of communication. Language is a cultural marker, and the speed of its evolution is a gatekeeping tool for those who can keep up and those who can't keep up. Anyways, it's time to put the fries in the bag, and hopefully you felt like we were able to give you the 411 on 6-7. So thank you for sticking around to the end. And that brings us to the end of our exploration into memes, media, and the brain rot phenomenon. Thanks to my co-host and student guest for joining us on this episode today. We've discussed how the term brain rot went from niche internet slang to Oxford's Word of the Year, and the fact that there is now a term attached to the consumption of low-value online content, content that doesn't really add any real value to your life. We've looked at the psychology that keeps us scrolling, and we've seen how this fast-paced language is a creative playground for a new generation. I think the biggest takeaway is that behind all the absurdity and the inside jokes, there's a very real and very human search for connection and community, good or bad. So, thank you for listening to our Brain Rot episode. We hope this conversation gives you a new lens through which to see the memes and trends that fill your social media feeds. I'm your host, Mr. Jason. Don't forget to subscribe. We put our new episodes out every week. And as always, this podcast would not be possible without the hard work and support of our international student production team.
All music and sound effects are courtesy of Pixabay.com, a vibrant community of creatives sharing copyright-free images, videos, and music.
And we are signing off until next time. We are Students Incorporated, because your voice matters.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.